CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Venezuela and the border with the United States. It is a fact that the number one national origin of people crossing the Panama-Darien Gap headed to the Mexican border, and the number one origin, I'm told, of people arriving in New York City from the southern border is Venezuela. So much so that the President of the United States has made account for them, allowing the Venezuelans to work because they are in flight from a brutal regime. And right now there's a presidential contest that could be scheduled here in 2024 between Maduro, who is by no means the legitimate president, but he has the gun on his dais, and a young woman named Machado. Joseph, I come to you because the headlines are mixed. Venezuela's Maduro says election deal with opposition could collapse. At the same time, the Supreme Court is ruling that Machado can't be a candidate. At the same time, I believe that the U.S. is saying we're not lifting sanctions if you don't follow through on an honest presidential election. Are we supposed to be confused, Joseph? Is that what they're doing?
No, John, they're doing pretty much what most people, I think, suspect that an autocratic regime to do, which is not to recognize agreements, not to recognize the rules. They signed this agreement called the Barbados Agreement that basically said that they were going to open up the electoral process to all candidates, including opposition candidates that are in staunch opposition to the Maduro regime. Maria Corina Machado, who I know very well, is perhaps the most consistent and loudest and most credible candidate in several decades to have faced Nicolas Maduro, to face the Chavista regime. It's no surprise to me that they're going to find some way to consider her ineligible and not put her on the ballot and not consider her a candidate. But the truth is, Venezuela, the Maduro regime, they really don't really care much about having an election. If they have an election, it's mostly as a way to kind of try to re-legitimize the regime. Or more importantly, if they have an election, it's a kind of way to reset the table. And they may try to do that at some point, but they're never going to let someone like Maria Corina, who's a proponent of free markets, whose big message is about individual liberty, who, if she were to win an election, would not be able to be controlled by the Chavista apparatus. They will not let somebody like that become president of the country. But I think also here we have some consequences of the policies of the White House and the Biden administration, because I believe that the Biden administration has given too much concessions to the Maduro regime in the sake of going to a free and fair election. That's the big goal post that the Biden administration has set. But the concessions have been already big. They've not only have gave them back Alex Saab, a major prisoner, a major terror sponsor, criminal facilitator, but they also gave them money, sanctions relief, and the ability to kind of reintegrate themselves into the Latin American economy. And the result of that legitimacy that the Biden administration has given is they're using it to clamp down on their opposition. Besides rendering Maria Corina ineligible, they're also persecuting her team. They're arresting members of her team, or if they haven't arrested them, they've basically put them on a sort of supervised control by the police. So they have to check in every couple weeks. And so they're starting to clamp down on any kind of dissent from inside the country when they're supposedly, according to the administration, supposed to be opening up to elections this year.
Ernesto, I come to you on a matter that is parallel to what Joseph just identified, the questions about the honest election in Venezuela, which is that there are conversations ongoing, diplomats from South America, hosted by Brazil, talking about, in some fashion, avoiding direct conflict, even violence, between Venezuela and its neighbor, Guyana, the very small state of Guyana, about a disputed territory that's only vulnerable right now because Maduro has engineered a national referendum to grab, I think, two-thirds or three-quarters of Guyana because of the oil wealth. Now, I recall Lula da Silva speaking out on this. This is your Brazilian border. And the talks about this are being hosted in Brazil. What is your measure of what Brasilia wants? Does it want Venezuela to win this contest? Is it looking to de-escalate the tensions? What is the concern in Brasilia?
Well, John, it's certainly not a sincere concern about peace and the region. My reading is that This is the peace talks or understanding talks between Venezuela and Guyana are being run in concert with what we just discussed and Joseph so well described, the election, the preparation for elections in Venezuela without Maria Corina Machado, which means not clean elections, means elections that would be frauded in one way or another, and that would legitimize Maduro. I still think, I think I mentioned this here before in your show, that Maduro wants to use Guyana and the threat on Guyana as a bargaining chip in order for him to hold illegal, I mean, frauded elections. So now he said, okay, I'm going to be soft with Guyana. We're going to talk as long as his fake elections are accepted and bought by the West, by the U.S. Okay? So he's obviously, I think, playing one against the other. And Brazil is playing according to his tune. Brazil is helping. I mean, Lula's Brazil is helping Maduro to play that game.
Joseph, the border, the Mexican border with the United States, much in the news now because it's a political debate going on between Congress and the potential presidential contestant from the Republican Party, former President Trump. And now President Biden has commented in some fashion about a deal to be worked out in Congress limiting the number of people crossing the border every day. Venezuela is the story, however, because it is the number one origin for people flowing through the Darien Gap headed to the Mexican border. You have indicated over many weeks, and I just want to make sure we've said it correctly, that the people fleeing Venezuela are being driven out purposefully by Maduro and driven out with the intention that they're, the expectation they're going to the U.S. to undermine U.S. civil society in some fashion. That's certainly true in the cities where the Venezuelans do not have, at this point, means to survive, the streets of New York. Is that purposeful on Maduro, or is he just indifferent to his own people? We have about a minute.
Well, very, very quickly, John, and we could talk about this in another segment, but there is a major transnational criminal organization I think that most Americans need to start waking up to because it's wreaked havoc all over South America. It's called the Train from Aragua. It's based out of a prison in Aragua, the state of Venezuela near the Caribbean coast. And this was a prison gang, much like other gangs that we're seeing, the one from Brazil, the PCC, or MS-13 from Salvador. It was a prison gang that wreaked havoc all throughout this country, but then was exported outside of Venezuela into neighboring countries. In places like Chile, they've kidnapped and killed police officers. In places like Peru, they've extorted Venezuelan communities and businesses. In places like Ecuador, they're part of that melee of organized crime that you've seen basically is causing the government to declare a state of emergency. And now, according to credible Spanish reports in Telemundo and other places, they are now present in Chicago, in New York, in Miami, and potentially in other major cities in the United States. So there's a very big consequence of letting the border wide open. And not to say the Venezuelan migrants are bad. Most of them are good. Most of them are fleeing the persecution of the regime of Maduro. But there is a transnational criminal organization that's following in their foot trails, and apparently they're already here in the U.S.
What's the name of it, Joseph, in English and in Spanish?
In Spanish, they're called the Tren de Aragua, and in English, that would be the Train from Aragua, Aragua being the state, and there were a prison that was located next to a train that would pass through. That's why they have that name, but it's kind of colloquial because the Train from Aragua literally sounds like a human smuggling operation, and this organized crime gang, they specialize in human smuggling. They don't do drug trafficking. They don't do money laundering. They're human smugglers.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.